Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
But first, it was one of those games where, in the second half in particular, you felt if you took a breath at the wrong time, you'd miss a crucial moment where the whole thing could turn again. It was that pulsating battle between reigning champions Limerick and Cork, fighting for survival. Now, it was broadcast live here on RT Radio 1, but if you wanted to see the Munster Hurling Final, and you needed a subscription to GAA Go, something that has again caused huge controversy amongst fans of our national games. Well, Jarlath Burns, president of the GAA, is here. Good morning to you, Jarlath.
Good morning, Claire.
And thanks for coming in. We'll start with the criticism that came from Simon Harris, the Taoiseach. He says you're not listening to the grassroots on this. He says you have it wrong. What's your response?
Yeah, I'm very surprised to hear the Taoiseach speaking about this, considering that last year we actually sat in front of an Oireachtas committee. We were asked to do so. We did so. There were no issues at the end of it. They accepted every argument that we had, all of our rationale for the fact that we only have one broadcast partner, which is RTE. They have 35 matches, and if you know, if you try to imagine a world without GAA Go, the rest of these games just would not be broadcast because we only have one broadcast partner. Myself and Tom Ryan, the Irish juror, last Wednesday actually had a meeting with the Sports Minister Thomas Byrne and all of his officials. We actually put that on the agenda, GAA Go. We asked him were there any residual issues coming up regarding it. He said no. We accept that GAA Go is an outstanding service, particularly for our exiles abroad, people who wouldn't be able to watch any of the games, and GAA has a growing global market.
Who said
as well.
That to you? Thomas Byrne said
Thomas
that
Thomas Byrne actually said those words. The previous week, I actually had a meeting with Pascal Donoghue in my own office in Croke Park. It was an excellent meeting. He has a great passion and understanding of the GAA. GAA Go didn't even come up. So, very, very surprised and disappointing at the Taoiseach. And then the tarnished, though, would actually speak about something that we have already been in front of an Oireachtas committee for. They were satisfied with our answers. It came up last week at a meeting. There were no issues. You would almost think there was an election coming up.
So they're speaking out of both sides of their mouth, is what you're saying. One thing in private to you, everything is fine. And then they go out and speak to the media and the public and say, you're not listening to the grassroots.
Yes, and we do listen to the grassroots. I am here as GAA president to speak to our members. I am accountable to our members and to our central council. We do regular reviews of all of our processes. Last year, we did an extensive review of GAA Go. We had 6,000 responses. Overwhelming response was, yes, this is a brilliant service for all of us because there is an extra 29 games that are being shown that wouldn't normally have been shown. And if we didn't have GAA Go on Saturday, I was able to watch two matches. I was at the Score All-Ireland final in Killarney on Saturday. I was able to watch two matches on my phone. I was able to watch the incredible game between Kilkenny and Carlow that nobody would have even thought of showing. Fair play to Carlow, they ended up drawing with Kilkenny, and then I was able to watch the other match. So, in a world without GAA Go, these games just wouldn't be getting televised.
So let's stick with politics for a while, because with the Fine Gael Senator Tim Lombard, he said it's the fourth Munster Senior Hurling Championship round robin fixture to be behind the paywall, the third Cork hurling match on GAA Go this season. So in terms of the matches that are selected, as far as you're concerned, is that just the way the cookie crumbles?
Yes, there are, over the last 2 weeks there have been four provincial finals, and of course we have an obligation, and RTE would always want to show the provincial finals, and when you look at them, they have been really excellent matches. As an Armagh man, I'm very disappointed here that our game went to penalties and we were beaten again. But if you look at their 11 Munster hurling matches, RTE picked 7, GAA Go picked 2. So there was going to be 2 that nobody was going to show. So GAA Go came in and said, well, we'll pick those games as well. Because at the beginning of the year, when you're doing the planning, it's very hard to work out what are the key games going to be that everybody's going to watch. And that's really something that you can't plan for. And people who say that, you know, you should wait to the Monday and then decide what the big game's going to be and then decide what you're going to show, don't really understand the complexities of an outside broadcast and how many factors that you have to weigh in and all of the obligations that you have with rosters and everything else. I know that's an RTE issue. Mm-hmm. There are partners in this and we fully understand how their hands are tied. But they obviously had to show the four provincial finals over the last 2 weeks.
So we have Tim Lombard asking you to come before a committee to answer questions. Is that something that you will do?
No, I'm not minded to do that this year. We did that last year. They were very happy with the responses that they got. Nothing has changed since then. But I will be asking for an early meeting with the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste to get them to explain exactly where they are with regard to the criticism of our association. Because there's a couple of very important points that we have to make here. I will make absolutely no apologies for trying to extract as much commercial revenue as we possibly can from our games, because we do not have the same auctioning power as, for example, the Premier League has. So if you look at the Premier League, Arsenal played Man United yesterday.
Yes.
Now, they will make more from that game from broadcast rights than the GA will make from that game than the GA will make over 5 years. That's their number one source of revenue. Their second major source of revenue is from alcohol companies. We refuse to accept any revenue from alcohol companies. Their third is from gambling companies. The GAA has blacklisted all gambling companies in terms of commercial revenue. That only leaves our games, Claire. Our games are the most important things that we have. And what we have to remember is this. The government is promising 125 million in its large scale infrastructure fund over the next number of years. Mm-hmm. In the last 2 years alone, the GAA has given back over 150 million. Now, that's 150 million, which is 83% of our income back to our units. Now, the stadium that Mr. Senator Lombard was standing in making his comments the other day, there's a 33 million debt on that stadium. Where are we going to get the money from that if we don't have some form of revenue generation, particularly in a climate where there is only one broadcasting revenue partner?
So, I was looking at your figures coming in from broadcasting. They're down significantly. The last numbers we have are for 2023. So you're down almost 4 million on the previous year. That's since the Sky deal ended. Mm-hmm. So are you under pressure on the broadcasting side?
Well, I think that GAA Go is a brilliant solution for us and for RTE. And remember the evolution of GAA Go. It came in as initially to service the needs of global GAA.
But RTE own half of it, don't
they?
Yeah, they
do. And RTE are a really good partner with that. But during COVID, it became something different because we had an obligation to show as many games as possible to stop people trying to climb over walls and go to them. And we showed hundreds of matches then. And suddenly then GAA Go became very agile. It had a lot of equipment. And we decided that in the absence of other broadcast partners, that GAA Go could fill that void.
But on the money side, Do you expect that GAA Go is going to make up the difference in terms of what Sky were bringing to the table?
Yes, we do. That's what we would hope. And
more than 4 million?
Yeah, well, we would hope that. We certainly want to grow it because we have an obligation to grow it. We have an obligation to get as much commercial revenue as we possibly can from our games. And that's something that's shared by all of our counties. That's why you don't hear our counties complaining about this. They do exactly the same. Now, if you wanted to watch that match yesterday as part of the early bird package, €69 for the full package, Claire, this is an important point. It was €1.76 to watch that match. If you wanted to go, it was €30. That's the ultimate paywall to actually go and watch it.
There's another issue though with people who aren't comfortable, you know, with using an iPad or a computer, and you know that very well, that they want to switch on the television and be able to see it easily.
Yes, I understand that. But what you have to remember as well is that when people are talking about young people, as a school principal dealing with 1,800 pupils every day, I know that younger people are more and more accessing all of their content on mobile devices.
Not everybody has access. Like Anthony Daly was saying, he was talking to somebody who wanted to get it for his father, but they only had 3G in the area. And that's another problem that you're going to encounter as well.
Yeah, well, the broadband issue is something that I would urge the government maybe to speed up. And it's a very complex issue. And I'm not going to be making, you know, soundbite criticism of government policy on the airwaves around this. But I will say that with regard to advanced mobile broadband, Ireland is a world leader on it. For example, I think at 4G, there's 99% of people have it. 5G, 85%. That's well ahead of most other countries and makes it easy for people to watch it on their phone. But remember, in a world without GAA Go, these games wouldn't even be shown. GAA Go is a solution to a particular problem that we have when we only have one broadcast partner.
And that's not going to change. Virgin aren't coming back. Sky aren't coming back.
No, the reason why Sky weren't able to come, because at the time that the GAA Championship was on, Claire, is the climax of the Premier League. So it suited them to have the games whenever we were going on to September. That isn't the case anymore, so they bowed out. But of course, people criticise Sky as well, but GAA Go was able to show multiples of more games than Sky were, 29 more games. And last year, we showed 304 free games. That's 6 free games a week we showed. There is no other sport in the world would show it. And like I know in our house in November and December when the club matches would be on, you would be watching a game on TV and actually the boys would be sitting with the laptop watching a match from some county that was being streamed. That's the way people are accessing the content. But I just do want to make one point there. Of course, I am not blind and deaf to what the people of Cork and the genuine hurling people who want to see their games showcased to as big an audience as possible. that's something that we would love in an ideal world to be able to do, to have as many of those games shown as possible. But unfortunately, this weekend, whenever those games were on, we had two provincial finals, and it was RTE who picked seven of those games and we picked two and took the other two. It was just those circumstances. We bit like last year, whenever the game, I think it was between Munster and Limerick and Clare was to be on, or Limerick and Cork was to be on the Saturday, on the Sunday, and because the Limerick run was on the Saturday, the Gardaí asked to change it to the Sunday, and the result was GAA Go showed it on the Saturday. So sometimes circumstances can mitigate against you.
And the schedule has changed. I want to come to that in a minute, because I'm getting a lot of text messages here on my screen about that. But on divvying up the games before a ball is kicked and then the season changes, is there anything you can do in that regard?
Well, again, as I've said, you know, that's something that comes up to us all the time, that could you not look at it on a Monday and then change it, you know, and decide what games you're going to show at the weekend? That's really something that RTE might have to grapple with, but I would support them in the fact that it is very difficult and very complex logistically to get an OB unit out and do all of the rosters, and that's really something that RTE might have to decide for themselves.
All right, let's look at some of these messages coming in now about the schedule. The big picture here, says this listener, Brendan, is the condensed nature of both the football and hurling championships. Too many games to be fitted into a short space of time. That's repeated again and again here. Please bring back the September All-Irelands, replays with no penalties. Too many games all squeezed into a few months.
Yeah, that's understandable, and so many people are saying that. Again, we were accused on Saturday night in the Sunday game of having lost touch with the grassroots. Having the split season shows that we are absolutely in tune with our grassroots. So we have the split season. Yesterday, for example, as a result of the split season, as a result of the condensed nature, Armagh and Donegal weren't able to have a replay. So we've lost now two Ulster finals on penalties. You imagine the GAA president in Clonus yesterday with all its supporters around him begging me to stop penalties. Mm-hmm. We have penalties because of the condensed season. Why do we have the condensed seasons? Because our clubs were telling us that they weren't able to get all of their championship games finished in the time that they had. So if you look, go back to Cork, for example, Clare. Cork have two codes. They play three games, they play groups of four, three games. It takes 14 weeks between football and hurling to get their season finished, their championship season finished. And as a result of the way it had been, there was no certainty for club players with regard to arranging weddings, baptisms, confirmations, all of those things, because club matches were being put off at the whim of how the county was doing. That had to stop. And the split season was brought in, and it has diminished so much of the income that we could have had. So we could have had a replay and more money for the GAA, but the split season has stopped that because we have listened to our clubs. Our clubs are the primary unit. So if you look, for example, at Leinster that filled Croke Park last week, rugby made a different decision. They decided to put primacy to the four provinces. And as a result of that, if you're a talented player in a school in rugby, you can't play for your club. And if you're a talented club player you go and play for Leinster, let's say, you can't go back to your club. Mm-hmm. We don't do that. Our players go back to our clubs because the club is the primary
unit.
But
did I not read you saying a very short time ago in an interview that you'd be open to looking at a return to the September finals?
Yes, and at the Central Council meeting next Saturday, CCCC are bringing forward certain proposals which might offer not a solution, because there is no solution to the number of fixtures that we have to get through in 1 year, but another compromise. All of these are compromises that we have, and that to try and fit in as many games as possible and satisfy as many people as possible, but dealing with the reality of the number of fixtures that we have to get in a year.
Would you want to see the All-Irelands back in September?
Oh, I would absolutely love to see them back in September, because, you know, as a school principal, again, the amount of buzz that there is in a school in September. If you look at, for example, how early the season was this year. So Cavan played Monaghan in the first round. There should have been 20,000 at that game. There wasn't, because it was up against Celtic and Rangers in the morning. It was up against itself on the TV. Mm-hmm. It was up against the weather, amber weather warning. It was up against then Man United and Liverpool. But again, we have to listen to our members. We are accountable to our members. So if I go into my club tonight to do the lotto and to do all of the things, people will tell me that it's important to be at the split season, because when all of the county is over, that we can fully concentrate on the club.
Okay, so that criticism, let's leave the government aside, the politicians aside, because it was coming from all sides, this criticism over the weekend. But you seem to be very sensitive to the grassroots. And I went through a list of players this morning. I took down a couple of names. I mentioned Anthony Anthony Daly, Sean Cavanagh, Neil McManus, the Wexford All-Ireland winner Tom Dempsey. They're all really upset about this GAA Go situation. And again, they make the point about losing that connection with the grassroots people who you've just been talking about, the people in my community and yours who go out in all weathers all year round to train the under nines. You know, and you do you really want to upset those people?
That's superficial emotional comment that doesn't take consideration of the complexities of the logistics that we have to deal with in a real world. Sean Cavanagh on Saturday night on live TV, and he is an accountant with an accountancy practice, said that the GAA is one of the richest organisations in the world. We have 140 million of a turnover, of which we give back 83% to our own members and to our own counties and clubs. I mean, for somebody to actually make that comment live on the Saturday game and considering the businesses he's in is just absolutely crazy. We publish our accounts every year in a 176-page document. Google GAA accounts every year and you will see what they are. Every part of our accounts will tell us that we have to invest more money. And just to make to finish up on that point, we are now in the next 2 years going to be becoming a fully integrated organisation. As a result of that, Cork, Armagh, Down, Longford, Carlow, Kerry, Monaghan and maybe four or five other counties that I just can't think of are upgrading or rebuilding centres of excellence and making them facility correct. Each one of those is going to cost about 15 million to build, and Cork is in there. That's about 200 million we have to find in the next 3 years. Kildare, Louth, Meath, Waterford, Antrim in Casement Park, Kerry and Thurles are upgrading their stadiums. That's going to cost us about another 200 million. So I would say in the next 3 or 4 years, give or take, we have to spend half a billion on infrastructure. Where are we going to get that money considering we don't have gambling sponsorship?
Where are you going to get it?
The only place we can get it from is from the selling of our games. And GAA Go is a small but very important part
of
that.
How much is the GAA making from GAA Go?
Not 100% sure exactly. I know that it costs around about 4 million per year to do it. The accounts are published. I'm sure if you went upstairs to your finance department, RTE could give you that. But I'm going to say this, Claire. I will make no apologies for saying that I want GAA Go to become a major revenue generator for our association because we need that money to upgrade our facilities.
And will you take it in-house into the GAA and take it away from RTE? Would that not make more sense for you?
Well, that's your comment to me, but I am not going to start negotiating between the GAA and RTE on the airways. I will say this, though. I think we need to pay a tribute to Declan McBennett as the head of sport for the amount of work that he did, particularly during COVID, for the number of games that he himself committed to ensure that people weren't going to games. And the money that RTE generate from these from GAA Go goes right back into buying rights again. So as a result, RTE were able to buy 35 more games, that's between league games and club championship games, that they were able to show free to air. So the money that RTE generate from GAA Go goes straight back into providing more GAA games.
Okay.
The money that the GAA gain from it goes straight back into our community.
Okay, but the goodwill, to go back to that, that we see in the GAA clubs right around the country, it has to be handled with great care, doesn't it? And when people are upset, you have to listen to that.
Some people were upset, but some people are preferred would be happy to fight to the last drop of somebody else's blood. Because it was certain people were complaining because their game wasn't on. We didn't get any complaints from the people of Carlow and Kilkenny who were delighted that their match was in GAA Go because they knew that if their game, if there wasn't a GAA Go, their game wouldn't have been on at all. I was at a funeral in Birmingham on Friday, Claire, and there was a lot of a GAA funeral of a great Gael. There was a lot of people up from London. There was a people from all of the all around England at that funeral. They were queuing up to tell me about the wonderful service that GAA Go provides because they can keep in touch with the GAA throughout all of the years. We have GAA people. We have people from our country, young people who have had to emigrate all over the world, ask them about GAA Go and they'll tell you how important a service it is. And the GAA is a global organisation. 2 weeks ago, I was in Vigo in Spain at the European Fela. The two teams that competed in the final, one from Galicia and one from Brussels, none of them could even speak English. And yet, whenever we put that game on in Galicia, there was 50,000 people watched it. In Galicia, in Spain alone.
And that's fine for those games. But that match between Cork and Limerick, that's one that you expect to see on your free-to-air. I mean, my goodness, I was listening to Marty in the commentary in the car and it was scintillating. And I was thinking, this is one of those games where you might have the pictures on in the house and the radio turned up loud like we used to back in the day with Micheál Murathaí. Like, Do we not expect and deserve that as supporters of the GAA, that we would see that game on the television free to air?
Yes, and for €176, you could have seen if you had bought the full package, which is €69, which is excellent value. Again, we would love if there were more of the broadcasting
companies
in Ireland.
But you'll have people listening to this and have paid my TV licence. No, I expect to get that.
Yeah, and for your TV licence, you got 70 games free last year. Mm. And, you know, I'm not going to tell RTE what its public service broadcast obligations are, but you also have an obligation to show news, to show documentaries, to show soaps, to show light entertainment, to show arts, to show music, to all of those things. And the GAA is a part of that. And you will understand that your public service obligations will say that you cannot show all of the games. And the other thing is, we don't want to show all our games free to air, because that also promotes a sedentary lifestyle. We want people to be playing our games as much as possible. And that game was shown, and I'll go back to the original point. 11 Munster Hurling, RTE picked 7. There was 4 then that wouldn't have been shown at all, of which that match on Saturday night was possibly one. GAA go picked 2. And then there was nobody for the other two, and GAA go picked the other two. So that's the reality of the climate that we find ourselves in whenever we go to renegotiate our broadcast rights.
But the bottom line seems to be, listening to you, that you want to put these big games on GAA Go because you want people to subscribe, because you need the money to reinvest in the GAA.
That is true. I'm not going to deny that. In order to make GAA Go financially viable, we can't just have the peripheral small games that we're not going to have on. So we do have to have some games to attract people to the €69 that they'll say, there's a couple of big games on. That will justify my purchase of €69. But remember, we do not have shareholders. We have stakeholders. And our stakeholders are demanding that we do our best to try and fund all of these infrastructure projects and all of the 75 million that we give back. We do not keep. And by the way, I just want to point this out. Nobody on the board of directors of GAA Go gets a penny. All of that, they're all volunteer people.
But you will cherry pick some games to make sure that subscribing to GAA Go is something that you're pushed into doing, because there will be some big games on there.
That's correct. Because if we only put the big games on free to air, GAA Go
is less attractive.
It's less attractive, and it won't pay for itself. Mm-hmm. Because remember, GAA Go has its own rigging units now. We employ 39 people, by the way. And just what I would urge the government to reflect on the fact that this is a digital startup, a young company that we are led to believe that the government is promoting. And now we have senior government ministers talking against the startup of a young company that is there to fill a gap whereby our native indigenous games wouldn't be shown if it wasn't there.
It's not there. Just government parties. And like Jack Chambers, the former sports minister, says it's damaging, in his opinion, the popularity of both sports. But we also have Louise O'Reilly from Sinn Féin saying that it's an issue putting these games behind a sports wall. It's not just the government saying this.
Yeah, but I don't know how many of these points I have to come back to. Like last year, as I said, we showed 304 games free, and people are complaining because of one match, the 305th game. So let's say we showed that 305th game free, there would be a 306th game that people would complain about. We have to make sure that GAA Go is a viable commercial model going forward, because if we don't have a few big games on that, that doesn't become viable financially for us to run anymore. And we do need the funding. As I said, we don't have all of the other, we don't have the auctioning power of the Premier League or the IRFU, of UEFA, who can give money to soccer clubs because of the amount of billions that they get. We don't have the Premier League gambling or alcoholic sponsorship. We don't have any of that. All we have is our games. And our games are not worthless. They are priceless to us. And in order to make GAA Go viable, yes, we do have to have a few games behind the paywall. And it does sadden me that wonderful game wasn't free to air. I am not blind to that, of course, but we have to deal in the real world of logistics and trying to get the best deal for us in the GAA.
Okay, all right. I have very many people getting in touch, including someone here in the last couple of minutes saying that having a penalty shootout is disgraceful. Yesterday, after having two super teams playing 90 minutes of excellent football, bring back the old system and have a replay. But you've told us why, at the moment, that isn't possible. Lots of people asking for the August-September All-Ireland finals to return, so that might be something that you'll be discussing soon, as you said. Jarlath, thanks very much for coming in. That's Jarlath Burns, who's GAA president. We'll take a break, back after this.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.